Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with RJ here with you for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And we'll take your calls. If you want to get in here and talk about Astros, another loss, and another bullpen, another Montero, at least we saw Jose Abreu. You know, that period when they didn't have a general manager is just it's going to be the dark age of Astros baseball. That, I don't know, month and a half or so where they didn't have a general manager, it's turning into a major disaster. What with Montero, this time at least, Montero, you know, last time a couple of infield hits killed him. And, you know, you're like, okay, you know, everybody has some bad luck. That wasn't bad luck last night. Another walk, too, that killed him.
Another walk that killed him. Hunter wasn't great at all.
No.
So you had your starting pitcher didn't show up, but you still were in it, obviously. Abreu with another double. That was good.
Yeah.
Hensley goes yard for Yordan. It was your usual suspects doing some things, but it was also Montero with another bad outing. With a bad outing here, but you know he's got a whip, not a ton of starts, but I mean his whip is up around 1.5, 1.6. He's allowing too many runners on base. Yesterday was the walk was the gateway. It was the gateway drug to a big inning. So he gets gatewayed by walks. And then, you know, you're bringing up an overarching theme here that is impossible to say this is the way it's going to be. But it really looks like a run of several months without a GM could – in the middle of a process where, you know, getting rid of Click when you did, it really does look like it opened the door for some incredibly bad, un-Astro-like decision-making that it's one thing to miss on a player. You know, that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But to miss with three-year deals is really, really puzzling because it's just something that is not Jim. I mean, the very player at first base that you were taking over for, Yuli, had a one-year deal. Now, I get it. You probably weren't going to be able to get Abreu on a 1 year deal, and this is hindsight because a lot of people really like the Jose Abreu signing. But I'll bet you White Sox fans, you know, sometimes we as Houston fans, when a player leaves, you realize you're getting a name, you're not getting a game. Like, you know, the home team knows the deal with the player by the time he's going, and I'll bet you White Sox fans knew exactly what was headed the Astros' way. You know, he's got 4 home runs since the All-Star break last year, total. Since All-Star break last year total, he has 4 home runs.
Well, he's got 0 since September 13.
Right.
Yeah. This is it's a problem. I mean, that could be the darkest era we've seen over the last decade, that 2 month span of no general manager. It could be that
because
could be,
they did deals that didn't look any all
anything
of us
like Astros.
All of us recognize, like, yeah. What kind of deals are these?
Yeah, no. As soon as Montero, we were like, 34 and a half, really, for Montero?
Yeah,
of all of the guys in the bullpen.
Well, the fact
last
it was
year.
A 3 year deal, too, for a guy with an expiring contract who, like, this is exactly the type of guy who walks. That deal was more puzzling than even
Well, his season last year was the outlier, actually, for his career. So that was maybe they thought he turned a corner, or maybe they just made bad decisions. They made some bad decisions when they didn't have a general manager and they didn't stick to Astro baseball the way that they've been doing it. Maybe they learned a lesson.
Well, I don't know how Dana Brown approaches this either, to be honest with you. I haven't seen him do deals.
No, we'll see. We'll see what kind of – well, he did a lot of long-term deals when he was with Atlanta, but those long-term deals ain't happening with the Houston Astros. Not the kind of deals that he put together or they put together in Atlanta. So we'll find out whether or not he has that kind of cachet with Jim Crane to do longer term deals, and which Jim Crane has been not want to do. So we'll find out. Rafael Montero met the media afterwards. Let's start with the walk. That was a killer. Another walk for Rafael Montero that comes around to bite him like it did the other night. Here's Rafael Montero after the game about that walk.
Nada, yo creo que eso fue prácticamente a favor de ellos, pero que imagínate, esos son malos momentos que llegan y ya lo que uno tiene que seguir trabajando y echando para adelante y rebasar eso.
Yeah, you know, obviously that's something that definitely went in their favor there, and you know, some bad moments come at times, and the only thing I could do is just try to continue working and try to get through it.
And then what's the theme of his last few outings? He's not getting he's not pitching the way he wants to.
Prácticamente están haciendo buen contacto y yo creo que, imagínate, eso es algo que ya lo que uno tiene que seguir trabajando para eliminar eso y hacer el buen trabajo. Todavía falta mucha temporada y seguir trabajando.
Yeah, you know, I think they're obviously making pretty good contact, and for me, I think I just need to try to continue working, try to alleviate those hard hit balls, and, you know, we still have a lot of season left to play, so just continue working, try to get through it.
A lot of season left, 17 and 18 now. That's a much better, hey, listen, this division has improved. Texas is better. The Angels are better. That's a nice lineup. Actually, you know, the Astros have one of the, if you want to know the truth, the Astros have one of the weaker lineups in this division, if you want to know the truth.
Well, Brantley, did you see what Brantley's done in the minors during his stint?
And he came up and with Chaz, he's in L.A., and Dusty says he's just not ready to play yet.
He's not ready. He hit a nine-game rehab stint, hit .250, .333 slugging, 11 walks to one strikeout, so, you know, he obviously has the same plate vision. That's fine. Only a couple RBIs, no home runs. Like, it's, I mean, he's gonna fit right in, with low slugging and run production. Mm-hmm. But 36, soon to be 36 year old.
Yeah,
this team is unusually old at some different areas.
Yeah, you know, we'll see. We'll find out whether or not this team can turn it around if you start to get a little bit healthy. You saw Chaz last night. He just comes back, and he's got an 0-for-4 night. He wasn't able to get to that ball, although it was crushed. I don't know anybody who could have gotten to that ball as hard as it was hit in the eighth inning. The eighth has been the Astros' downfall. It was a downfall twice in Seattle.
It's even this year. It served them well at times, but here recently, it has been a problem. Very, very recently. RJ, you've had something to say.
Well, I was just going to ask you guys, you remember when Jose Abreu did his introductory press conference, or it could have been the first, you know, just media scrum that he had, where he said, I, you know, went to the Chicago White Sox side of the dugout, and they said, you look like Michael Jordan in a Wizards jersey. Do you guys kind of get that feeling, like, with Jose?
Well, he ain't nearly as good as Jordan was with the Wizards. I mean, Jordan wasn't good. Jordan wasn't the Bulls Jordan, but he was better than this.
Yeah.
I mean,
point this, taken, though. I mean,
yeah. I mean, listen, you're paying for what he did in Chicago. That's what you're paying for, and that's exactly the kind of thing Astros have stayed away from.
That's all free agency.
Yeah.
Every free agency is you're paying for what a player did. The problem here is that you're paying for what a guy did when he was younger.
Yeah. Too. Not a young player that you're not. You're a younger player that gets the free agency You're hopefully not paying for that. Hopefully the Padres aren't paying for what Soto did in Washington. Hopefully,
well they are.
The Phillies aren't paying for what Bryce Harper did in Washington.
Well, I mean, you are to an extent because that's why the price tag's as high as it is.
No, you're absolutely. But as a younger player,
well, you're hoping to get it.
You get it. Yeah.
Well, no, you're always hoping to get it, yeah. But you still the price tag is what it is because of what you were with somebody else.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Well. You've got a track record, and hopefully you come through with that track record, and Jose Abreu is not. But actually, if you want to know the truth, a 36-year-old, you got to expect this. You got to expect what this what's happening
it's
here.
It's actually fairly normal.
Yeah, yeah. So
and the Astros didn't give them. They're not giving them $28 million a year, but they're not giving them nothing either.
No, 19.
Yeah,
19.
I mean that's giving them a pretty good.
It's pretty good.
It's a pretty good slice. It's going to be potentially a very.
Is it handcuff them really?
Well, yeah, I think if they let it, yeah. It's going to be 12 more, 13 more than you would have given Yuli for multiple years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's if this move truly was pushed forward by by Bagwell and Reggie Jackson and those guys, who I don't know who else it would be. I mean, you didn't have a general manager. Man, what does that do to their credibility with the owner? Because it's a multi-year deal. It's not a one-year deal. It's not a two-year deal. It is a little bit handcuffing because every little dollar is going to count when it comes to trying to scrape together the biggest deal possible for Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
And you'd hate to say, I think that's a little bit of hyperbole to say, well, now you can't, you know, it's impossible to get a deal done with Kyle Tucker simply because of deal. But it makes it.
Kyle Tucker gets free agency, this deal will be over. So. That's the good news. Along with Montero's deal, they'll both be over. So you're not going to have to worry about that anymore. He's got 3 years of arbitration.
He's still got three left.
And he's got two after this, but there's only 2 years on both of those contracts.
But you'd rather do a deal earlier because then you have chance. Absolutely, yeah. Then you have no chance once he hits the market.
Yeah, no. That is true.
So you're gonna if you want to do a deal early, these contracts are still on the board.
Well, you're going to have to, just like you did with George Springer in the last year of his deal. You know, you got to $20 million with George Springer in the last year of his arbitration deal, which you have to get to that as well.
Would
with
you do two
Kyle
years,
Tucker?
2 year, $76 million deal for Kyle Tucker? Any chance he would take it? Why would he take
it? Why would he take that? No.
I mean, why would he take it?
He doesn't want to get older. He wants to get to that free agency as soon as possible so that he can. The younger you are, the more years you get put in, guaranteed years you get put on that deal. He's not going to extend that by a couple of years.
No.
He's actually played this pretty smart. Yeah, Kyle Tucker is building his value. Now, he's betting on himself. There's no question about that. Yordan has guaranteed money that he's got, you know, in the bank. But Kyle Tucker's saying, no, I'm gonna find out. He's only making $5 million this year versus what the average of 20-some million that Yordan is making. So he's betting on himself. And you know what? It paid off for Carlos Correa. It paid off. It's paid off for just about everybody that has gone through Astros arbitration. And here's Kyle Tucker now. You ain't signing him. I don't think there's any way you're signing him. Not after what we've seen here. He wants that long-term guaranteed deal. Well, another loss for your Astros. They are now 17-18 on the season. Got two more games here against the Angels. Let's talk a little Texans football. Something interesting at there. We hear from the owner, and we'll hear what she has to say about the uniforms and more. Next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.
Did you say what the owner, what she feels like? That's what I said.
Huh. Yeah, we're gonna hear from the owner and what she feels about how she feels about the new uniforms. Okay,
Cal's not identifying. That's.
Cal's not the one who's talking about the uniforms.
But
okay?
His pronouns are he, him.
I know, but John. The owner said she will tell you what she thinks about. And
This is a tease. This is a tease.
That's
we got to find out
what's
going on here.
That's exactly right.
Huh.
You know what's going on here? She doesn't like when you dip. Okay, and I'm not referring to the owner. I don't know what she thinks about dip, but I do know that your girl, your wife. I know that she thinks it's gross when you're dipping, when you got stuff in your teeth and you're spitting into a cup. Yeah, that's awfully attractive to the ladies. No, not in the least. Here's the deal. You still want that sensation in between your cheek and gum. you still want that flavor. You still want, and I guess the juices that it provides you. But how about doing it safely? How about doing it with CBD? How about doing it where you don't have to spit, where you swallow, because the CBD oil that is in the Dew Blend and the Canstead, you're actually going to enjoy it. Actually, it's going to help you as opposed to the tobacco and nicotine that's really hurting you. That is, I mean, can cause some serious problems for you. I'm telling you, if you're looking for the best way to dip, go to 975dip.com. See for yourself. Try it. I'm telling you, you're going to like it, and it's going to change you, and it's going to change your health. 975dip.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.
To Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Hey, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. So yesterday, the Texans golf tournament went down. They raised over $400,000, it looks like, for charity. Nice job. The Texans always do a really nice job with that golf tournament. And some of the players were there. So were the owners. Cal and Hannah, together, and answering questions.
We
and
say this on a pretty regular basis. Every time I talk, like, when I do radio interviews outside of the city of Houston or TV, I talk about the Texans owner. Like, I say this now. I don't even, it's not something I think about. I say the ownership or the owners, I say that on a regular basis, and I'm not thinking Janice.
No.
McNair. I'm thinking Cal and Hannah.
Cal and Hannah. So let me ask you this question. Do you see this kind of situation anywhere else? Have you ever heard Jerry Jones say, well, I don't even know.
Marlene? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. Is he married? I don't know. I don't think
no,
he is.
No, I don't think he is.
No, he's not. Have you ever? I know.
You heard about that bus?
Yeah, I heard about
it. He ain't married.
So I know that in Cleveland, they the Haslams actually Dee is there a lot.
Yeah, we do hear her name.
We do hear.
We do.
Well, and especially during the Deshaun stuff. She was front and center, so it made it look like, hey, there's a woman, and she's okay with this. So that makes it easier. It makes it better, because a woman is putting her stamp of approval on this. And I think that he brought her to the fore. But I think she was there beforehand. Although I never heard Jimmy Haslam say, me and Dee, I just don't. What was her name that owned the Rams? Robinson? No, not Robinson. What was her name? She was the first owner. A female owner that I can remember.
Georgia.
Frontier.
Yeah.
Georgia Frontier. She was front and center because she did own the team when her husband died. I mean, that's how she got it.
But not like this. Not actively husband.
No. You know, this is very
unusual. Hannah will answer some questions from time to time. And I think right now it's not a bad thing. Now, in the future, it can become an issue, except for the fact that I don't think Cal is a strong owner anyways.
Well,
so what difference is
that? Make no mistake, if you want to know the truth, this is a much better situation than it was when it was just, hey, Cal's fronting this organization.
Yeah.
This is a much better.
No, it is. Better. It feels like a more functional outfit.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it just feels like a real team now.
It's so funny. I mean, I have zero problem. Actually, I'm happy that Hannah is in the room, that there's somebody that's making decisions actually that seem to be. Before Hannah was apparently in the room, we got the Jack Easterbys and the Bill O'Brien running roughshod over the organization. Now it seems like it's a much more coherent.
Yeah.
It seems like they're doing stuff like real NFL owners should. They're making really better decisions about management and whatnot, and it just seems like it's a much better run organization. And Cal and Hannah wanted to clarify that the first pick in the draft was not theirs. Here's Cal talking about that first pick in the NFL draft.
Hannah and I do not make the draft picks, so we'll be clear there. But we have a great group of scouts, and led by Nick and James Lipford, and they did a lot of work on the draft board, and then they followed that on draft day, and they moved up when they saw the value was there and moved back, you know. And so it's a lot of fun to be in there. I wish everyone could be in there. There's a lot of excitement, but at any rate, it was fun. It was a fun day, and we felt really good about it.
I have no reason not to believe him. I mean, somebody in that building really liked C.J. Stroud, or they felt like they had to. Like, it was just something they couldn't pass up on, because how often are you at the number two pick? But somebody in that building likes C.J. Stroud a lot. I know Bucky Brooks thinks there was some smoke going around, but I heard a story that I know is accurate because it came from C.J. to another team. So I'm quite certain that is not the smoke. But I know Bucky thinks there was some smoke involved with Houston, and maybe there was. But somebody obviously likes C.J. Stroud.
Well,
for them to be the pick, because, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Cal didn't say, "Hey, I want you to do this," because Cal is, you and I both said, Cal's, it's not Cal's nature to really demand stuff, but if the owner wants something and you know it, you'll make it happen. But clearly,
I mean, clearly, did they take a brain surgeon to realize the Texans needed a quarterback?
No, that's just it.
I mean, honestly, that maybe Cal goes, "Hey, who you think we need? Yeah, we think we need quarterback."
One thing I've heard is that the coaching staff, that the head coach liked the quarterback. I've heard this is the little stuff that I hear from different people who are around the business, is that, okay, Nick, that was not Nick's pick. Like, Nick didn't want C.J. Stroud. Was not a big fan. And that D'Amico is the fan of his. One other thing I heard is that, you know, I'd also heard that the building was split on him, whatever that means. Like, half the side liked C.J. Stroud, half did. I think there's probably some truth to that. No. There's probably some truth to the fact that it was a little up and down with him. I don't think it was up and down with Will Anderson. I think people were in with Will Anderson. But what's interesting is Cal refers to it as Hannah and I do not make the picks. Like, he's referring to the ownership group of Cal and Hannah, which from the very beginning – we've both said it's actually positive, because Can is much less likely. And look, you're not going to deal with snakes like Jack Easterby or power hungry guys like Bill O'Brien. Like, that's not it actually is the norm in a lot of buildings, but it's not this over the top where they're literally like Game of Thrones characters. It's usually a little more politically based. When I say politics,
yeah,
they play politics. They understand how to do it. There's this kind of stuff that goes in a lot of buildings. However, you know, it was so over the top with this Littlefinger stuff that it's like that was literally the Astros were being run like an HBO series.
The Texans.
And it was poor Cal was just getting run over with Hannah there. But now that we're a regular team,
yeah,
and a regular organization.
It seems like it's like a regular, they're running a business like an NFL team now.
Bill O'Brien hated Rick Smith. I don't think Rick had a great feel for Bill.
You know, this isn't like Brian Gain that much either.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. This had been going on for a long time. Yeah, no, this has been a long time of at least behind the scenes of knowing how bad
God
it was.
They realized it though, and you know what? And it just seems to coincide when Hannah came to the fore a lot more. Is that Brian gone? Easterby gone? Beat it. You know, let's hire real people. This whole thing though with Cully and then Lovey, it's so embarrassing that, you know, David Culley to begin with. And they're finally out of all of that stupid stuff that they were doing. One of the smart things that they're doing is they're changing uniforms. And Hannah gave us an update on exactly what's going on and how it ain't an easy process changing uniform. For you would think it would be, well, let's just change our colors. It's not that easy, not in the NFL. So here's Hannah on an update on what's going on uniform-wise.
So we are in the process of doing that. We're trying to meet all the deadlines. We did get paused there for a minute with the NFL. We had to renegotiate some things, but we'll get through it, and I hope the fan base will be really happy.
And the fan input matters?
We've had some groups meeting and giving us input already.
What did he say at the end there?
He's had people already giving him input on the jerseys.
Oh, well, the big hang up is the powder blue that they're trying to go to, which is called Near Columbia Blue.
And, I was wondering
and the
why,
Titans. And,
I was wondering how they were acting like this is going to, because the Titans, Titans ownership, Amy Adams. Well, I don't know if that's her. No, I don't think that's her name because there's an actress named Amy Adams. But Bud Adams' daughter is Amy, who owns the team now. What's her name now?
I don't know what her
name is. She's always, they've always said, this has always been a point since Bud Adams moved there. But when Bud Adams was there, these are our colors.
Amy Adams.
Yeah,
oh, Strunk. Amy Adams Strunk.
Yeah, you're not going to get this. So I was always wondering when they were throwing that same blue out there, I was always wondering how they were going to do this. Because to me, it meant that Tennessee had backed off of their desire to keep those colors. But apparently, you know, maybe not. I don't know. You think those colors are remaining?
I don't know if it's going to be Columbia blue. I saw something that it's been an issue. I've talked to some people in the know last year that were like, it's a process, and the Titans are being the Titans about this thing, and it's so they're,
but they always told you they were going to be if you tried to come after their colors.
Yeah. So we'll see. Boy, I don't know who put that out yesterday or the day before, but they put the horns on the helmet. It almost looked like the Eagles kind of thing, but it's put the horns on there. Took that. The logo off. Did you see D'Amico out there yesterday with the new H on?
I did.
Yeah.
Looks like something the Rockets had when they first had the Yao Ming jersey, the Chinese themed jerseys.
Yeah.
That's what the H reminds me of.
Oh, it does?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that new H is pretty cool. I like it. I think that's what they're going to go for. That's going to be the newer logo as opposed to the Bull, which is so corny and so Texan. I mean, they're getting away from, you know, they're trying to rebrand and trying to, because let's face it, I want to know how many people you see the logo the out there with their Texans hat on with the Bull logo.
Well, but it's not like when your team's no good, you just don't see it that much anyway.
True, but it's just not, it's not cool. It's not, I mean, I think the new H is going to be a lot hotter, even
it's cleaner.
For kids.
It's a rebrand. It's what they should have done. Yeah. I mean, it was definitely time to try to get away from the 20 years of misery, relative misery, and come up with something different. It's smart. It's, you know, ever since Hannah has taken a bigger position, it's like, it's almost like they are listening to what fans and you know, sports talk shows talk about, which is, man, get some, change color schemes, change the logo up a little bit. Just rebrand the team so you give people a chance to start fresh. And never has there been a fresher start than, you know, this year. You drafted quarterback, you drafted a rusher from both with premium, you know, school ties and pedigrees. People know who Stroud and Will Anderson is. You got D'Amico Ryan's a former Texan. There's a lot going on. You know, speaking of that, a little later in the show, we're going to hear from Mike Sando, his article on The Athletic. He spoke to a bunch of – Mike Sando is one of the most connected writers in football, and he speaks to a lot of executives, and he interviewed executives that he speaks to about every team's draft. So we'll tell you what they thought of the Houston Texans draft.
Okay, we will do that. We've also got, well, let's hear from D'Amico on the other side. He you were talking about whether or not D'Amico liked CJ Stroud, and that's the rumor that you heard. He really, really likes CJ Stroud. So we'll talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, we're going to talk right now about Chastang Ford, about my people over at Chastang Ford. I'm excited about Chastang Ford. I really like, listen, I love my vehicle. I don't know if you've ever driven an electric vehicle. And listen, I got a cool F-150. I don't know how cool the other electric vehicles are. I know mine is really cool. I really, really love mine. I love having an F-150. It's another one that we have. We have two in the family, and this one was the best buy I've ever made. I just love my F-150 Lightning. You will love it too. Go and order it. I mean, you can't. There are portals are open now for you to make all kinds of orders. You're not paying MSRP on order vehicles. You're just not. They're not going to add on. They're not going to mark up. They're not going to make it different. They're not going to make you pay more than you should or have to. They're going to give you the best deal that they possibly can, and you're going to get all of the rebates and everything else that Ford is offering. You're going to get the best interest rates they can possibly find for you. It's all happening at a place that really just cares about you. It's Chastain Ford. They've been doing this in the city of Houston for over 80 years, the Chastains have, and there's a reason for that because they're the best. I love dealing with them. You're going to love being with them as well. It's Chastain Ford. ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown, Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. For those of you who missed it last night, well, Astros lost 6-4. Meanwhile, the Lakers were taking a 3-1 lead over the Golden State Warriors. A good game. Steph missed a couple of shots late, and Golden State now is on the brink of being eliminated. Also, Miami is taking it to the Knicks with a 3-1 lead over there. The other two series tied at 2 games apiece. And the Celtics are still the favorite to win it all. The Lakers have moved into the number 2 spot.
Yeah.
They look pretty tough.
I told you, when I was cooking, I said it was LeBron James is going to win a title.
I think it's stupid, but okay.
I was cooking last Wednesday. I was cooking.
Yeah.
And it's because you can kind of see it happening. I saw this with the Rockets in 95 with they were coming out of the 6th seed and Dream, you know, and Clyde had been hurt at times and Dream had been hurt. And that was the year they brought Clyde in from, but it didn't really take off like everyone thought initially because there were different injuries and they just hit their stride right at the perfect time.
It could well be the 8th seed versus the 7th seed in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
The Miami versus L.A.
That could.
That would be very uninteresting.
Well, but I also wouldn't write off, like, the hottest take was that it would be James versus LeBron, James Harden. Because, I mean, they're sitting there 2-2.
Yeah.
They're not out of anything yet.
No. I just know, James. If it's an elimination game, James is just not.
Yeah, but you've got Embiid. So if Embiid steps up and has an MVP performance, that's the big difference. Is if James didn't play well for Houston, you're stuck.
I heard so many things about, oh, my gosh, James coming back. And we'll get into that. We said we would talk about D'Amico Ryans and his love for C.J. Stroud. Here is D'Amico yesterday talking about C.J. Stroud and how he fell in love with him during the process.
Throughout the entire process, you just continue to grow more and more in love with the guy. You know, it's just, you know, who he is as an outstanding young man. Smart guy, competitive guy, excited to start to work with him.
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out whether or not he and Bobby Slowick can work together. Or it's, I don't think this is going to be a Ryan Day kind of thing where Stroud goes to him because D'Amico's on the defensive side of the football. We'll see how C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowick work together. That'll be an interesting. And whether or not he's going to start right away. Actually, Cal talked about that, and Cal answered the question on whether or not C.J. Stroud was going to be the starter here.
Well, I think that's up to him and how he plays and the coaches and how they see him. So he'll earn his spot wherever that is, and he'll feel like he's earned it, and the team will know he's earned, you know, wherever he winds up. So we're looking forward to that.
Okay, we'll find out. That didn't say much of anything, and you're not going to give away. How do you know whether or not the kid's going to start? You got to find out whether or not he can get it, whether or not he's ready. So we'll find that out as we go along. D'Amico Ryans was asked about draft capital and how much they spent to get the players that they got.
Yeah, I felt like we did a good job with the draft. Utilized the draft capital resources that we had to add some, you know, good young talent to our team. Now it's just the next phase of getting them adapted to what we do and allowing those guys to just come in and compete. And that's what it's all about.
So, not everybody agrees. I don't know, what you think about it. Everybody's got a differing opinion or what their own opinion on the way that the Texans used their draft capital to pick up Will Anderson.
And it was not the most efficient usage of draft capital. No. But I think one of the things that you're looking for, I just think this draft was about getting the guys you wanted. It's become very apparent. This was less about how, you know, about by the book, and they just had two guys they targeted that they wanted. When it came draft day, they said, these are the two guys we want. Let's just make it happen. And they paid a premium price. Sometimes people go to they go to a clothing store and they know that, you know, the shoes. I'll give you an example.
Yep.
When my patio was first built in December, I remember it was December 16th it was finished, Texas Custom Patios, and I didn't have any patio furniture. And I went down the street to this patio place with really nice furniture, but I knew I could get furniture somewhere else that was cheaper. I knew I could get it at Chair One or whatever it's called, and I could get, you know, good patio furniture for a lot cheaper, but I wanted to have it right then that day so I could enjoy it that day. And so I went and bought it and spent way too much. I mean, I spent too much on the same kind of stuff I could have had, you know, later. But I really wanted it. So I understood I was paying a premium for it because it's patio furniture is not cheap, by the way.
Patio spot right here.
I know. And so I knew what I was doing and I just really wanted to have it. But, you know, in hindsight over the years, I've thought, now this furniture's held up. It's been really good for me. But I've also thought, man, I could have. If I'd have just been a little bit patient, I didn't have to do that. And I look at this exactly the same. It's like the Texans just said, we have to have it, and we really don't care what the price tag is.
Well, not everybody agrees that it was they used their draft capital well, and especially here is Bill Simmons on his podcast talking about how poorly the Texans did.
Texans are relevant next year, and they could put people in the building, and their defenses improve. Like, no one's going to be saying, I can't believe they gave up so much for Will Anderson. If they stink and then that ends up being the pick for May or for Wilson, well, then, yeah, it's going to be a story that lingers forever.
You just threw two ifs with the Will Anderson trade, which is why it was a terrible trade. This is where, you know, as usual, the VP of common sense could have stepped in. They clearly had the owner wanted the QB and the management wanted Will Anderson, and this was the compromise. Well, what if we trade up? It's just... That's a crazy, like my friend Lombardi was making the case. Like, no, if you look at it, what they traded for Arizona was really for CJ Stroud because the team wanted Will Anderson. It's like, no, I'm actually not going to look at it that way because they could have taken CJ Stroud at two. And then they traded all that. They traded 12, 33 and a 24 first and third to Arizona. And the other thing is we do this in the NBA. Like, why can't you top five protect the 24 first? Houston's not going to be good. Newsflash. Guess who's not going to be good next year? The Houston Texans. Yeah. So that's the seventh pick in the draft, the fourth pick in the draft for Will Anderson, who we don't even, you just said, if he turns out to be an awesome 10-year starter, it's like, we don't know for a fact that he's going to turn into really anything.
And he's not the physical presence of Bosa or a Myles Garrett or a Jadeveon Clowney even.
Right. So Myles Garrett, would you have traded that for? I would say we would, even during the draft, would have said like, okay, I get it. Myles Garrett, sense. Sure thing.
Yeah.
This guy's not a sure pick. Thing.
Well, so.
Well, I think we've gone through all this, but I mean, those are all fair points.
They are. Listen, who was it? Wasn't it Davenport that the Saints gave up two first rounders for?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Terrible. It was awful. It's not unusual. It's not crazy to get what you think is an outside force presence. Hopefully, Will Anderson will be that.
You pay that for an elite rusher.
Yeah,
Khalil Mack was a two first round guy. Rounders, so yeah. you pay that for an elite rusher, and if the Texans have him graded as an elite rusher, then that's what they did. We'll just see if they're right. This is a good time to read this. This is from Mike Sando's article from The Athletic. These are executives speaking on the draft. They said the Texans were sitting out there the last few years, and now they've reentered the world, which does feel that feels true. Like they're in football again.
Yeah.
Well, they've been in some kind of weird Black Mirror episode before then. No one is questioning the Texans for adding Ohio State quarterback Stroud and Alabama pass rusher Anderson with the second and third picks, respectively. Lots of people are questioning the price Houston paid and jumping up. Quote, in a vacuum, everybody without pressure can do better, the executive said. I don't know if their GM survives a really bad year and is making the picks next year anyway. And then they're drafting CJ Stroud, so giving up a shot at a quarterback next year doesn't matter. I don't think it's a terrible deal for them. They've paid far less in San Francisco than San Francisco made to make them move up for Trey Lance 2 years ago, which I'll just say this. I'm not upset about the deal they made this year necessarily, but you don't say, well, this is a good deal because another deal was a bad deal. Yeah, right. That doesn't make any sense. But they said, here's something that is a pretty interesting note. It was a fair trade on all of the charts, another executive said about the Texans' move. My guess is that they were split between the two players, Stroud and Anderson, and they said, you know, this pick we acquired from Cleveland is 12, and our pick from Cleveland next year is going to be lower, so let's see if we can move up and just get them both. Now, the problem is they didn't trade Cleveland's pick next year, did they? They traded their own.
Yeah.
That was a problem.
Yep.
Teams finished with picks might sometimes become freer with the spending. Quote, Miami did it trading up for Jalen Waddle. Houston did it trading up for Anderson. And I'm not sure Detroit takes Gibbs if they had just one first-round pick. So having extra pick frees them up to be more aggressive is what the comments are on the Houston Texans. So they didn't really get slammed for what they did, other than, you know, one executive saying, well, this is what happens when you are, you know, when you feel the pressure.
Yeah.
And I would say, Nick, I do still believe Nick Caserio. I do wonder if Nick Caserio is going to be the guy after this year is over, just simply because D'Amico Ryans may want his own guy.
Could well be. Yeah, we'll find out. That is, well, if they have another really, really poor year, I could certainly see where Nick.
Yeah,
I
they mean, need these
Nick
players.
Fell on the sword this off at the press conference immediately after the season. Well, he really did.
It was his draft. It he was, should fall on the
it
sword.
It was. It was his, you know, another year of dismal football.
You need Kenyon Green.
Under his
last
lead.
Year's guys to play well.
Yep, you do.
Because if you look at it right now, just think about this. Davis Mills has become basically, it's just some type of fifth or sixth round trade option for another team. You have Davis Mills, you have Brevin Jordan, who we'll see what he becomes.
Nico Collins,
I don't think is guaranteed a second year contract, a second contract.
Would
even.
You give him? You wouldn't give him one.
Not right now.
No.
I mean, we'll see what becomes of it. But no, why would I give him one? I'll just go rookie and just go cheaper. That's the one thing you're finding
you
out about second
option
contract
decision on him after this season.
No. He's second rounder.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No, you're right.
Yeah.
So he only
has
just got 4 years.
That draft all of a sudden has fallen down. Now you've got last year's draft, which actually produced two very good players in Jalen Petrie and Damian Pierce. So you absolutely, despite where guys are picked, but you did have two firsts, so you need something out of those two guys that you drafted. And then this year, you need the two firsts to play better, and you need this year's first. I mean, frankly, you need him to do something.
Oh, absolutely.
And if they do, it'll be interesting to see how the Texans move forward. Because if Nick is drafting well, then there's value in Nick.
Absolutely. All right, 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts on this? You're more than welcome. We'll talk about the James Harden situation when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, you can't always get to the casino, right? Well, yeah, you can. My bookie's new improved online casino is changing the game. You know my bookie for its sports betting, but they've also got a great casino too. MyBookie.ag is a really realistic casino experience featuring slots, progressive jackpots, live dealer action, all from the comfort of your own home. You can play casino games right there on your computer in your home. You're saving all the money it takes to travel there. They've got weekly blackjack tournaments and a brand new collection of high-end games for a chance at real cash rewards. The MyBookie Casino provides a Las Vegas experience without all the travel and expenses. And the best part, you don't even need to wear pants. You probably put pants on. No, you know, there's a camera on your laptop. Put pants on. Start your MyBookie Casino adventure today with generous sign-up bonus using promo code BET975. That's promo code BET975 to secure yourself a sweet deposit bonus. That's not all. Their loyalty program will shower you with free spins, cashback offers, lots of exclusive VIP perks. The more you play, the more you win. Play anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.ag.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun. ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline.
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Where do you stand on James Harden? I mean, it's apparently a foregone conclusion. He's coming here. Okay. Apparently he wants to come back here. You know, his mom's still here, right? Still has the house here. Yeah. I think his familiarity here. Maybe he doesn't like the Northeast, whatever the case may be.
Well, I think he's comfortable here. I think he really likes Houston.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, Harden didn't fit. Like, Harden's not a New York guy. He's from L.A. first and foremost.
Yeah, right.
He's not a New York. New
I hear
York
people
New
talking
Jersey.
About him coming home. This is not his original home.
But it is home.
I
for
hear
him,
so many
I think
things.
Now.
Yesterday the talk show is talking about this thing. Okay.
Okay. Are you home?
I am.
Okay. I think James is home too.
Now, obviously, going back to Chicago to see my family and whatnot is home as
James
well.
James has lived here a third of his life.
Yeah, I've lived here longer than I lived in Chicago.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, James has lived here a third of his life, and I think James just likes the city of Houston. I think he has, not only does he have friends here that I don't know if he met his friends here, but I would think a lot of them. The place he has, his places he goes, he's comfortable here. I think James really wants to be in Houston. I really do. And you don't make decisions if you're the Rockets. And I think this is where Rafael Stone has to be really careful about making emotional decisions about, because he was part of the Daryl Morey group of that had a love affair with, if not James the person, James the efficiency, right? The PER guy, you know, with the ball in James's hands. And I get it. They built it around a superstar, and James had a lot of success and the Rockets had success, but ultimately it fell flat. We know what happened with the Rockets. But the problem is, James is older now. We're seeing this play out right in front of our face with other players.
He's a different guy too. I mean, let's face it. He facilitated an MVP, and it wasn't him. So I mean, he actually led the league in assists.
Well, I think he's always
a different kind of
player. I think he was always that guy in Houston. He had to be the guy.
No, I know. So.
But who do you have as Joel Embiid here now?
Well, I heard so many things. Okay, so do you want him teaching your young players how to be?
I mean, no,
pros.
I don't. That's my big – my concern
well,
is not basketball related.
He signed a pair of shoes for somebody, some kid.
I know.
Okay.
Kid who's a shooting victim.
So that
I
makes him a great guy now all of a sudden.
No, listen, he also gave somebody a little love tap at a
strip
casino
club
or
Vegas.
Strip club
well,
in
whatever.
Vegas.
Whatever it was.
Say what you want to – I don't know. All I know – this is what I know. I'm not really super interested in James, I think James is always going to be about living his best life. And I think there's a group of fans who would say, what's wrong with that? And that's fine. I would like somebody really committed to helping Jalen become special. And I don't think Jalen's going to become special just following James's pathway.
I'm not going to be hypocritical. I if I was a pro, I would probably act like James. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If I wasn't married, I would do all this stuff. The thing is, not great, because most likely to be late for the team plane, James Harden. Most likely to take off in between road games. James
no, we've heard
Harden.
All
most
these
likely
things.
To take off for Vegas or Cabo and party all night. And
these are all things that have happened.
It happens. This is what happens with James Harden. He is not going to be great for a young team to teach them how to be professionals. There are better ways. Now, does he make you a playoff team right away?
No. I don't think away. But I think they become really interesting. I don't think James in a vacuum does.
I think they're borderline. They're absolutely in the playoff hunt if James Harden comes.
It's a team that didn't win many basketball games again this year.
Right. But
so James has a bigger impact than yes, one player. But there's similar situations to the Texans. You would never say the Texans are a borderline playoff.
No, but
team.
You don't need nearly as many players as you do in
right.
football.
Right, no, that's true.
In basketball. So
you think they're a borderline playoff team with James?
I do. I think.
But where is the
But here's the problem.
But James has got to take on more of the shooting, too.
James is a short-term answer. And what do you have to pay him for that? And does he help you become a championship organization? I heard somebody say yesterday, well, he's going to attract players to come here.
No, he doesn't.
Really?
Players
want to play with James
players
Harden.
Around
players
the league.
Will want to play with James Harden. Now, I will say this. I think he's different than when he was here in that. What do you mean? James Harden helped facilitate MVP this year in Joel Embiid.
But he did. But he was also one of those guys when he was with Oklahoma City. I don't think James minds. I think in Houston, when he was in his prime, James was the guy. And I think he loved the power he had in the organization. But I think at his heart, James is a smart basketball player.
But again, is he different now?
I don't think
he's not that same guy anymore. So why wouldn't you guys want to play with him?
He's been the last two spots. He's had Kevin Durant, Kyrie, and Joel Embiid. Like, he wouldn't have that here.
Well,
he would clearly be the most accomplished player, just like he was when he was with the Rockets last time. How do you know he doesn't have the same? Because he doesn't have that. Like, his personality's always been. In Houston, he's the big dog. In other places, he hasn't been the big dog.
Right.
This may also be a reason he wants to get to Houston is he likes big dog status.
He's not big dog anymore, though. I mean, that's a
problem.
In
Houston, he would be.
But would
look how Houston Rocket fans still trade him.
Let's say you get another guy, however you get him, and there's not great. It's not a great free agent class.
Like Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown's a totally different thing. Jaylen Brown is what you did when you were going after James. When Daryl Morey went after James Harden, now, Daryl was smart. Daryl finessed, and one of the great finesse moves of, frankly, in NBA draft trade history, Daryl's finessing of James Harden away from Oklahoma City was brilliant, and it really was the linchpin for a long run of very, very good basketball for the Rockets. Jaylen Brown would cost you in free agency. However, it's the same thought. It's the same thought as you're getting a star, and you're getting a star that you say, hey, we know he's a star-level player with you. He's going to be a superstar with us.
Yeah.
So if you have that, I don't want James with that because I don't think James ultimately in Houston, his city, I'm not because that's how he may see that. I don't know how he'd respond with that.
But he plays with stars. He doesn't carry the same cachet that he did then, though.
But he can play with stars as long as there's a clear pecking order. Like, he could not get along with Dwight, and Dwight couldn't get along with anybody.
No. But that's a different James. I'm telling you, that was young James that was bullying his way into stardom in the NBA. He got rid of Chris Paul. He got rid of Russell Westbrook. Because he had that power. If you brought James here now with Jaylen Brown, Jaylen Brown would be the guy that the organization would go, no, James, that's the guy.
Well, I would hope, but I don't know that for sure.
Oh, I do.
I don't think they say that to James. I don't think any of these conversations take place. It has to happen naturally. Like, they're not going to say, James, you know Jaylen's the guy, right? I think they would just hope that James sees it that way. I don't know that Rafael Stone can talk to James that
way. Well, what is it? Okay.
They've already established a relationship where Rafael was this guy here on the pecking order, way lower, and James was way up here.
But this
has to come from Tillman for
Tita. But he's still with Daryl, and he knows what the pecking order is there with Joel Embiid, right?
I think because James is a self-aware player when it comes to the NBA, I think he knows Joel Embiid is the guy.
Who entitled him to be James Harden? Daryl Morey. And he's still with Daryl Morey,
but
he has taken on that secondary role.
Though James knows that James knows who the guy is. James isn't stupid. He's got good basketball sense. In Houston, there is no Joel Embiid, so I don't know that he would say, my job is to make Şengün the best he can be. Right now, you have too many. Like, if James comes to me, and this is where Rafael Stone might struggle because he is so in love with KPJ. If James comes, KPJ has to be out the door that day. Or very shortly thereafter, because you have way too many cooks in the kitchen. If you had James and Jalen Green Jalen Green, James, and Şengün, okay, we got something here. Jabari is a guy who just fits in. He doesn't have to have a bunch of touches. That's something I can work with as a basketball person.
Okay,
like just loving basketball and understanding how I'm not going to say culture, but chemistry works. I could see that working. KPJ can't be part of that. There's too much carryover, and I don't see him playing a six-man role. I don't see him playing a role where you say, hey, listen, we want you to take a diminished but focused role. I don't see that as Kevin Porter Jr., and you are right. James is a two-year deal at most guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You can't go 3 years.
And what you're doing here, too, is short-term gratification, getting possibly – I don't want a borderline playoff team. I don't want – you know what? James Harden is not a long-term answer for a championship team. Build toward a championship. Does that piece that you got to pay – how long are you going to pay James Harden? 3-4 years?
No.
Well, wait just a minute. Are you sure?
If you – okay, so Daryl might give him that. And if you're in a battle against Daryl Morey, And I think Daryl's whole thing, remember, there was the NBA was looking into whether or not that was a funky deal. But if James leaves after 1 year, there's no real funky deal to it. But I do think that, yeah, I think the question becomes, I think you set up, if you really like James, you set a value. You don't let him determine the market. You say, look, if you want to be here, this is the price. If you don't,
how bad you want him? That's the question.
But you can't do a deal like the Texans just did with Stroud and Anderson, because that's not where you are right now. You're right. This is probably a 2 year max deal guy. When he falls off, it's going to be fast, because James is, you know, if James doesn't keep himself in shape, and we've already seen it go up and down, he's at an age where he's got a ton of miles on his tires. You have to be careful. You have to be really careful with the James Harden, and you don't want to get yourself in a position where you are hammered into a contract that you can't get away from, or you can't make decisions contrary to that contract. You got to be.
It's the NBA. You make a lot of stupid decisions.
I know, but this is where Rafael Stone has got to show that he will not make the mistakes that Daryl Morey made in the past. And frankly, maybe it's Tillman Fertitta. Maybe it's not even Rafael Stone. Do not make emotional decisions.
Yeah.
Cannot make emotional decisions based on James Harden, and you feel like he's going to get standing ovations. And, you know, it's one thing when the Astros brought Carlos Beltran in, it was for him to mentor. He thought the young team was ready to win, and they needed to win. And that was, but the Rockets aren't there yet. They're still learning how to be pros. And actually, some of what Beltran and McCann were was learning to be pro guys too.
Yeah,
they actually were. Now Beltran taught you how to cheat, and it turned into a, you know.
Yeah, learn how to win.
It turned on.
It's called learning how to win.
I know,
Lance.
It did turn into a blemish.
Yeah, okay. For you, it also turned into rings for everybody.
That's true.
I don't know if you remember.
Hey, I got a ring too.
I got a ring.
Of course, it wasn't a 17 ring. It was one of the.
The Rockets ain't getting a ring if they bring back James Harden. It ain't Carlos Beltran. They don't have the Astros lineup.
No, it's not a ring. But does he? The question you should ask is, what does he do for the Rockets in the future? Unless you say, no, James is part of the future, then I say, I'm not having this conversation.
Time to talk about this conversation. And you were just talking about your patio furniture. If you had great patio furniture and you wanted to make it look greater, or it was great at one time and it ain't so great now, Houston Powder Coaters. Houston Powder Coaters is here for you. You priced. Lance was just telling the story about how he priced patio furniture.
True. I'm not doing a commercial for Texas Powder Coaters. I'm just telling y'all the truth. I've seen their work. It's really good. If you've never priced patio furniture, you're going to be like, wait, what now?
Yeah. No. It's ridiculously expensive. And especially if you have heirlooms, if you have your grandparents' furniture, if you have your mom and dad's and it's older and you're like, man, I would love to keep this because, man, I can't afford to buy new stuff. Well, Houston Powder Coater saves it. And you got the feeling of keeping that stuff that your grandparents, your parents, or your grandparents had, and then you can pass it down to yours as well, because Houston Powder Coater is going to make it look great. They're going to take out that rust. They're going to make it look new again. They're going to strap the straps and the slings, and if it's broken, they can fix it. All the things that you need to do if you've got patio furniture, but also if you've got car parts that you want to keep, wheels, mags, chassis, whatever it is that you want to keep and you want it to look great. I went through out their whole lot there, and there was all kinds of car parts out there. If you're looking for a great way to save anything metal, there's one place to go. It's HoustonPowderCoaters.com. 281-676-3888. 281-676-3888 or HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.